you so much again, Martin. I've appreciated the invitation. I've appreciated being here already. Interesting how many people now want to go to junior church when they hear about chocolate. That's interesting. Well, that's another story. Well, let's turn to God's Word. We're going to read from Psalm 100, and we're going to read all five verses, but as I mentioned before, we're going to concentrate for a few moments on the last verse that speaks of God's faithfulness. But so important, the context here, and so appropriate when we think of why we're here and what we're celebrating, and also as we come to worship Him. Every time we come to worship Him, we do so with thankfulness. Psalm 100, page 937. You're still searching. Page 937, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Why? For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray Your blessing upon Your word. We ask that Your Spirit would teach us Your word this morning. We pray that You will shut out all other distraction, that You will give us understanding and wisdom, but much more than that, that we would be not just hearers of Your word, but doers also. Challenge us this morning. Renew a right spirit within our hearts. Oh, grant us truly a spirit of service in the light of Your faithfulness. Hear our prayer. Bless our time together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it has been said by someone, I don't recall who, the following statement. Serving God is the greatest adventure in the world. There is absolutely nothing to compare to serving God. Now, I see a few people nodding. It means you're either still awake and the rest are sleeping, or you agree with what I've just said. You agree fully. There is nothing to compare to serving God. There is no higher calling. You may be a doctor, you may be a nurse, you may be a teacher, you may be a lawyer, you may be an architect, whatever your vocation, and we thank God for the gift that He has given you. But higher and much more important is our calling as God's children to serve Him. There is no greater adventure in the whole world. I can think of nothing better to do. Yet, we must ask then, why do so few people do it? Why are so few people today serving God? Is it just the job of the pastor or the leaders of the church? Or is it, as I believe, the job of every believer? That we are called, you and me, each and every one of us, if you take the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, to serve Him. So why do so few people serve God? Let me suggest a few reasons. I know this because I experience. Maybe your reason for not serving God is, well, I don't have any gift. If you're a Christian, if God has saved you, you and I, every one of us, have a gift. In fact, some people may have more than one gift. So that excuse does not wash. You might say, like I did, I don't speak the language. I remember as a young boy, for me to speak English was a huge challenge. I had a very bad speech impediment, a very bad stammer. It was so acute, in fact, that if anybody knocked our door to come and visit, I was the first not to answer the door, but to hide behind the sofa or under the table for fear that they would ask me something and I would have to respond. And so the thought of learning a new language in Peru, Spanish, Lord, impossible. I can't even speak English properly. But you see, when God calls us, as He does each one of us, God gives us exactly what we need for whatever situation we find ourselves in. So that excuse doesn't wash either. Some might say, well, I don't have much money. You see, you can serve God by not only going and praying, but also giving. And let me say again, thank you to the church for your input into Baptist missions that allows us to go that little bit further. We could not do what we're doing, go where we go, if it weren't for churches like you. But to say we have no money, I remember the story in Scripture of the widow who gave all she had, and look how God blessed her. It wasn't thousands, but it was what she had, and she gave. So, hey, that excuse doesn't wash either. Some might say, well, I don't like to travel. I'm a bit of a homebird. I couldn't possibly think about leaving Bandon, Ireland, or even Europe. But, hey, we must be prepared to travel because you know why? Because Jesus is going to the uttermost parts of the earth to seek and to save their lost. And if we are followers of him, then we've got to be prepared to follow him wherever he leads. I couldn't possibly leave my family. They need me. That, and some are using this as an excuse for not serving God. Your family's important. For me, my family was very important. I was the second one to be saved, and so I couldn't possibly leave them because I was going to save the rest of my family. But God actually took me out of my family, but he continued to save. And there's just one in my family after 35 years. I'm still praying for my younger brother, still not saved. But God answers prayer. Believe me, he answers prayer. And there's no person, no situation where God cannot move. And no person that God cannot save. And you know, some people even say this. I'm too busy to serve God. Can you imagine God saying that about you when your name was mentioned? Oh, I'm too busy to save him. I'm too busy to save her. God never said that. And so, dear friends, as we think about our service for God, let's stop making excuses. There are no excuses that stand up to why we don't serve him when we realize just how faithful God is. And I believe with all my heart there is no greater motivation to mission than God's faithfulness. If we could only but grasp just how faithful God is, we will go wherever, we will do whatever. We may not understand, we may not even want to go, we may not even want to do, but when we realize that God is so faithful, we will go knowing that he's going to answer, he's going to provide, he's going to help, he's going to strengthen, he's going to protect, he's going to lead, because he never, ever fails. Our God is a faithful God. And that's why I love a song that we sometimes sing. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. And in wonder and in worship, I behold your face singing, what a faithful God have I. The third verse goes, Lord, all sovereign, granting peace from heaven, let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. I will tell of your great love for as long as I live, singing, what a faithful God have I. What a faithful God. What a faithful God have I, faithful in every way. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever, and his faithfulness to every generation. Let me suggest in the short time that we have together this morning, and please bear with me, this is so important. How is God faithful? Now you may know this, I am sure you do, but let me remind you this morning of just how faithful God is in some areas. There are so many areas, but let me just mention a few. Our God, first of all, is a faithful God in forgiving us. Yes, in forgiving us. You see, this wonderful message of the gospel, proclaiming Christ, talking about God the Father sending God the Son, the very best that he had, he sent him to a cruel cross, a place called Calvary, and Jesus hung on that cross. Jesus suffered that pain. He died for you and for me. And dear friend, if you're in this congregation this morning, and you know the story, you've heard about Jesus, but you still haven't received Jesus as your personal Savior, can I encourage you this morning? Look unto Jesus. He is the one who will forgive. He is the one who will transform your life. He is the one that will give you purpose. He is the one that will give you hope. He is the one who will present you one day to God the Father. There is no other way to God the Father except through Jesus Christ the Son. And you see, God has forgiven us. And this is why we can serve. The very fact that our God has been so faithful in forgiving, who am I? Who are you to be forgiven? But some might say, well, I know I'm forgiven, but I couldn't possibly serve God. I would let him down. You will let him down. I have let him down. But that is no excuse for not serving. And that's why I love the words we find in 1 John verse 1 and chapter 1 verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I am so glad that when I fail, God forgives. And this is why, you see, Christians are the happiest people on all the earth. well, maybe not here in Bandon, but normally Christians are the happiest people on the earth. You see, we've been forgiven. There is now no condemnation. We are free. We are God's children. And oh, that joy should be evident. This is a message for Bandon. This is a message for Cook. And how we need to see all of those gospels leaving today. Because each of us knows someone that still doesn't know Christ. And the only way they're going to find out about them is reading God's word. Take them. Use them. You might say, well, I've already done 10. Do 10 more. 10 more people that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to be that very special link in the chain to tell them about God's forgiveness and that they can be forgiven too. I guess the question is this morning, are we as passionate about sharing God's love as he is about showing it? The psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 86, verse 5. Oh Lord, you are so good. You're so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask of your help. Dear friend, this morning again, I plead with you. You need God's help? Call to him this morning. Come to Jesus. He has promised to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. And dear friends, this is why. Dear Christian friends, this is why you and I must be involved in God's service. Starting today. Secondly, our God is a faithful God in strengthening us. You might find, and maybe you would say to me this morning, that being a Christian is difficult. I never thought it would be this difficult. In fact, things were okay beforehand, but now that I am a Christian, it's become even more difficult. It will. Remember how difficult it was for Jesus when he was here on earth? You remember what he suffered? You remember how he was persecuted? Oh, sometimes we like the name Christian, but we must remember that it was actually a nickname for the early church. They were despised. It wasn't easy. So we must not pretend it's going to be easy for us. But maybe you'll find that God, yes, was faithful in saving you and forgiving you and making you his child, but then the way just got difficult. You've got tired. You've met with opposition. You now feel weak and weary. Maybe the years have gone on and it's time to hand over to someone else, you say, and you just don't have what it takes anymore. And maybe this God of forgiveness and love and mercy seems a million miles away from what you're going through right now. If only anybody knew my pain, my fear, my doubt, what I have to suffer day and night. That's why I love the words again that speak of God's faithfulness in Lamentations chapter 3. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, Lord, you are my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in you. I love going to bed at night. I have no trouble sleeping. But almost without exception, and I mean this, I'm no super spiritual person, but almost without exception, I remember this. As I lay my head down to sleep, hey, in the morning, new mercies I'm going to receive from his hand. We're excited when we're going to receive a letter in the post, or maybe it's an email we've been waiting for, and we can hardly sleep that night knowing that it's coming in the morning. But many of us are as excited about the new mercies we receive each day, a new sense of his love, of his presence, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his guidance, of his protection. That's why, again, I like the words of this little chorus written by Brian Dorkson that maybe we don't sing as often today as we should. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again and again because you're faithful to hear, to listen, to respond. You're my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, whatever your storm is today. Maybe you're feeling rejected, dejected. Maybe it's a sudden illness. Maybe it's a closed door. Maybe someone in the fellowship has hurt you and you never expected it. Your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. I have found that the difficulties in life often give us an opportunity to experience afresh the faithfulness of God. And I believe that's why Paul gloried. He even rejoiced in his tribulations, in his problems, in his difficulties. Why? Because I believe he proved God's faithfulness time after time after time. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, the, The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you. He'll even guard you from the evil one. And this is why, dear friends, you and I can be and must be involved in God's mission. Serving God. Why? Because our God is faithful in forgiving. Our God is faithful in strengthening. Thirdly, our God is faithful in protecting us. The psalmist says in Psalm 91, verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. Isn't this lovely? He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. This is actually the verse that Christine, my wife's dad, gave us when we were leaving for Peru back in 1992. I must confess, I paid little attention to it that day. We had no idea then just how much we would prove his promises to be true. That God always keeps his word. Indeed, almost on a daily basis. I have to be honest. As a missionary, we have faced times of danger. There have been times of crisis, times of need, times of fear, times when our health is failing, times when we felt vulnerable, isolated, far from family. But in all of these times, our God has watched over us, and he has protected us, he has sheltered us. And that's why we sing with such confidence that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will... Oh, I'm so glad there are a few Christians here this morning. And grace will lead me home. Why? Because God is faithful. He who promised will carry out what he has promised. Are you doubting God this morning? Our God is a faithful God to forgive and to strengthen and to protect, even when there is temptation. And Paul reminds us that even there, God is faithful, and he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he'll even show you a way out. And this is why you and I can be and must be involved in God's mission. Because he is faithful to forgive us when we fail, to strengthen us when we fall down, and he's able to protect us even when the way is uncertain. Fourthly, and there are only 20 points, so bear with me. I'm joking, there aren't 20 points, but I'm not going to tell you how many there are. Our God is faithful in blessing us. And this is the exciting thing you see about serving God. God blesses us more than even we are a blessing to others. When we step out in obedience to him, and it may mean giving up a comfortable home, it may well mean leaving a secure job, it may well mean leaving a clean and healthy lifestyle, but whatever it is, as we serve God day by day, he will bless us. I look back, I remember telling my colleagues, I was a police officer in Northern Ireland for 10 years before going to Peru. And I remember the week I handed in my resignation, my colleagues said, "You're absolutely mad." Or, "They must pay very well in Peru." Neither of the two are true, by the way. But God is blessed beyond measure, more than we could ever have imagined. He is able to do far and beyond what we could ever think or imagine. And I love, again, the words that speak of God's faithfulness in Genesis 32. This is a lovely dialogue here between God and Jacob. Listen to what Jacob says. "I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. You see, when I left home and I crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. But now, look how he speaks of God's blessing. Now my household fills two large camps." We would be here for a very long time if I began listing the blessing after blessing after blessing that God has shown to us in the land of Peru. There have been difficulties. There have been times when I wanted to throw in the towel. There have been times when I felt weary and weak. And even, what's the point? I could be doing so much more in Ireland. And yet God has blessed and kept on blessing and blessing. So you see, when we think about who God is and his faithfulness to forgive, to strengthen, to protect and bless, then surely we want to serve him. Surely we will not hold back. And you see, this is the challenge of the fifth point. And finally, our God is a faithful God in calling us. You see, this is where it's going to get a little bit uncomfortable now. Because we can all rejoice, we can all say amen, we can be thrilled, we can feel that warm feeling inside that we're forgiven, strengthened, protected, and we're blessed, amen. But God is also faithful in calling you and me. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says that we are God's masterpiece. That's fascinating. That has the idea of a very unique, one-of-a-kind, priceless painting hanging on the wall. Now, you might think, as you looked in the mirror before you came to church this morning, well, I'm no oil painting. And as I look around, I agree with you, but that's another. That's for another day. Let me tell you how precious you are. Let me explain for just a moment what God thinks of you. God loves you so much that he gave the very best, his son Jesus, to die for you. That's how much you mean to God. That's how precious you are. You are one of a kind. You are unique. You are priceless. And let no one, not even the devil, tell you otherwise. Jesus shed his blood for you. And the fact that God has saved us, first and foremost, he did it so that we would worship him. That's why God saved. He was in that business. He is in that business. And he longed to be reconciled to you and me. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus. There is no other way. And it's only through him. And that's why we need to trust him. And so as we come to him and we give our life to him, we worship him. And that's what we're going to be doing, by the way, for all eternity. Worshipping him. So get used to it. It's very special. It's very unique. But as an expression of that worship here on earth, we must serve him. And this is not just for some. I repeat, not just for some. This is God's expectation of all of us. He takes us with all our limitations, all our feelings, all our fears, all my doubts, all my weaknesses. And he says, welcome to my mission. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God will do this. God is the one who calls us to be saved, and God is the one who calls us and sends us. Paul says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And listen, look. And he has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ. Wow. This great work that God is doing right around the world of reconciling himself to men and women of every tribe and every nation. He says, come on board. You're in this with Jesus. And that's why these gospels will not make a difference sitting on this organ. Because you've got to take them. And you've got to be that link. You've got to be that bridge. God the Father sending you with Jesus, with that word, into the hearts and lives of others. That's why serving God is the greatest adventure in the whole world. So as we think about service this morning, in the light of how faithful God is, we remember that great commission to go into all the world. It is the exception if you stay. And you're only staying to reach those who are nearby. But our command is to go. Hudson Taylor said this of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Dear friends, this is not a simple message that we say, wow, wasn't that really good this morning? And you go home and think about it. Maybe for a day or two, maybe even a week or a month. That's not what I want. I want you to realize that for you and me, this is a command to go, is to be obedient. We haven't time this morning, but Paul goes on to remind us of this whole aspect of reconciliation and that we're actually Christ's ambassadors. Greatest adventure, no higher calling. We're working with Christ as God reconciles the world to himself. So in closing this morning, what are you going to do with God's message? I really do want to see all these gospels disappearing this morning. Think of the life that could receive it and be transformed by reading it because you love that person enough. But even more than that, because you love God that much, you're going to take every opportunity to serve him. In the light of all that he has done for you and the fact that he is faithful in forgiving, in strengthening, protecting, blessing. Now, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you. Will you go with God's message? Will you give to it? Will you pray for it? Or will you keep on making excuses? Fiona Castle, in a little book entitled Inspiring Women, there are times when we need to listen to women, by the way. I mean that sincerely. It's so important. And this is a lovely little book. If you ever get your hands on it, it's well worth reading. And Fiona Castle said this in Inspiring Women. God has a calling on the life of each one of us. Created uniquely, we are precious to him. Remember the masterpiece. And our purpose, now that we're saved, wherever we are placed, is to serve him in our own particular way. You see, it's all about service. And here in Bandon Church, Martin and Tom ought to have a band of people here who will not have to be waited upon and asked, will you do this, will you do this? Ought to be coming offering, I want to do this. I want to serve God here. I want to be part of this work. I want to serve God. 1 Samuel 12 and 24 puts it like this. Be sure to fear him, that is the Lord, and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. And when we consider what great things he has done for us, then we will have no option. There will be no other desire but to serve him, because our God is a faithful God who never fails. And we, oh, we, dear friends, you and me, must never fail him. Our God is always faithful. Dios es siempre fiel. God bless his word to each one of our hearts.
Well, thank you so much, Trevor, for sharing so much with us this morning. Do stick around to have a cup of tea or coffee so we can chat more with Trevor and with each other. We were going to sing one final song, Cornerstone, but I thought another song that was in my mind, maybe in response to what Trevor has been saying, is Jesus, All for Jesus. That second verse, all my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. So if we're taking that calling of God seriously, maybe this song can be a challenge to us, that we would sing that we want to surrender our lives in our service to him. It's number 1075 in our songbooks. Number 1075, Jesus, All for Jesus, and we'll stand as we sing this one. Good and his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.